Sahana Vavatu, Sahana Bhunaktu, Sahaviryan Karavavahai, Tejasvinavaditamastomavidivishavahai. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi. Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Oh, with all the wool stuff, you end up with fuzzy things everywhere. That's technically why you can't wear rough wool in the deity room, because of that. It has to be something fine. Stuff like this is, horse would be happy. Hey, Bhagavat Sandarbha, Adhyayana 2, Adhikarna 3, Functions of the Chit and Achit Shaktis, Anucheda 21. If the Lord mixes with Maya, liberation would be impossible, right? Because if he's mixed with Maya, he can't liberate you because he's under Maya. Does that make sense? Because we never say that. Who says is that? That will be the other schools will say that. Then the problem is, then you're going to get, at least the Mayavadi school, that's how you get the Jiva, is Brahman mixed with Maya, right? And so, or Brahman mixed with Ishwara. And so if both of them are under the modes, how will the living entity get liberated? Because then the point is if Brahman is mixed with the with Maya, that produces the jiva. So that means Brahman is in the same position as the jiva. So how would one jiva give liberation to another? And Ishwara being supposedly covered by goodness, then the difficulty is still goodness is not good enough to get you to pure goodness. So how could something in goodness give you the liberate you from your position and bring you to pure goodness when they're not on that platform? It's like Brahma was telling Hiranyakashipu, He wants to be immortal, but Brahma said, I'm not immortal, so how can I give you immortality? Mm-hmm. Right? So it's just, they don't think these things through very well. If liberation could not be achieved, then bliss could not be achieved. So then you can't get the Brahmananda, and that's the whole purpose. Just to be situated in Brahman is actually not the point. You want to be happy situated in Brahman. Right, because the material world is giving misery, so the whole idea of liberation that will free you from the misery and establish you in happiness. So, if you can't get liberation, then you can't taste Brahmananda. So that's the whole point. So then, what's the thing? Maya is described to show that the Lord does not mix with it at all. Right. So the only reason to bring in Maya is so that we understand that Krishna is not mixed with Maya. He deals with his internal potency. The internal potency in the transformation deals as the external. Then from Bhagavatam, you are the original Lord, the controller, beyond material nature, beyond material energy. You are situated in your spiritual form, being one with your spiritual energy, and separate from the material energy. Srimad Bhagavatam 1.7.23. You yourself, Sakshat, are Bhagavan, the first Purusha, Adhyaya Purushaha. You are also the Antaryami Purusha, Ishvara. You do not associate with Prakriti, Prakrite Paraha, as Bhagavan or Paramatma. Right? So on neither aspect is he associated with Maya. He's simply dealing with his internal potency. So he's the first Purusha. He's also the Antaryami, right? So the super soul. So that means he's Garbhadakshay and he's Kirodakshay. So he's all three. Shamshaya, so doubt. How can one experience the bliss of Kaivalya if Brahman is defined as Bhagavan? If he is the controller of Prakriti as Ishwara, how can he not associate with Prakriti? Uttara. You keep this Abhyasa Shakti far away by your fixed Sarup Shakti. And by your Sarup Shakti, you are situated in your Sarup Atmani, which is full of its own experience of bliss. Kaivalye. Right? So he is situated in his transcendental position. And because of that, he's experiencing that bliss. That's why then if you connect with Bhagavan, then you can taste that bliss. When he brought his energies such as sattva to equilibrium by his powerful energy of time, the Lord who enjoys himself, who is the controller of Prakriti and Jivas, and who is worshipped by liberation and conditioned soul, liberated and conditioned souls, remained in the form of complete bliss called Kaivalya, without Maya. Srimad Bhagavatam 11.9.17-18. So you can see is that there are these original terms and situations. And those have their names. So you're bringing about how the Lord is situated in his bliss in a transcendental position. That's called Kaivalya. Right? So seeing these words and these ideas in the Shastras, then all the other non-Vaishnav schools will take these and use the same words. So that's why it seems confusing. But it's not their words. Right? Mm-hmm. It's the words of the scriptures. It's the Vaishnav words. And then they give their own idea about it. So then we're saying, oh, but there's Kaivalya, that means this. Right? Who said it means that? Right? Who said it means that? So that's the whole point, is they say it means that, when actuality, it does not mean that. Yes?
In Bhagavatam, one of the last verses, it says that the prayojana of Bhagavatam is Kaivalya.
Mm.
That means the unity.
Yes. That's interesting, yes. So we're used to hearing it in these kind of these contexts. So that's the difficulty, is that because we've heard them from the impersonal platform, therefore then we get that idea. Right, if you hear it from the proper platform, you don't get that idea. Just like, let's say, someone has grown up in an environment where everything's always offered to the Lord before eating. Right? So then if you see something that is there, has been cooked, then you'll naturally ask, has it been offered or not? Right? So it's not, in other words, it's always an offering, and then you take prasad. But if you haven't grown up in that environment, then you see something to eat, you just want to eat it. Right? So that's not the natural definition. The natural definition is in the context of the Lord. So, therefore, the Kaivalya means that he is transcendentally situated and he is happy in that position. He is Ananda. That's why it said here, he who enjoys in himself. Means the enjoyment that he experiences comes from himself. He is enjoyment. So, therefore, if the living entity then contacts that, then he also comes to that same position. But in here, when you're saying that this Kaivalya is the position that the living entity is trying to come to, then the point is who is tasting this Kaivalya? Right? That's Krishna. And how will you taste it unless you're in a relationship with Krishna? Right? Because if you take it that the Lord is impersonal and therefore does not have a position, does not have any of these aspects or definitions, and to have them, then you must be covered by Maya, then the difficulty comes up is then where's the Kaivalya? Right? And so then how would we get to that position? Yes.
Sometimes in situations we do not avoid the kata, and I want to ask Inshikamisho, this word the kata from Shiva Prabhupada.
The word?
The kata.
Ekatva.
Prabhupada translated as unity in vision, but Bhaktivinoda Thakur translated as unity with positional, unity with form.
Unity in vision and unity in position.
Yes.
Yeah, position means your situation. You're situated on the platform of Sat. Right? So then when you're on that same platform of Sat as the Lord, then there's that oneness, right? Because if you're both situated in the same position, then you can interact, right? It's like, let's say you want to interact with somebody here in this house, you have to be in this house. So therefore, you can say it's that oneness of being in the same house, right? So they're on the same spiritual platform. Does that make sense? So you're looking at the Sat aspect. And then the other, you said Prabhupada, what is the, how did he translate it?
Vision.
So then that means now you're understanding that relationship and everything. So it's not just the position. You're looking at the relationship between yourself and the Lord. Right? But to be in the position, you have to understand the relationship. And being in that relationship, you're in that position. Just like someone who sees all living entities equally, right? So that will be brought out, yes? But also, but to be on that platform, I mean, to see like that, you have to be on the Brahma-Bhuta platform. Does that make sense? So it's just a matter of whether we want to give emphasis to the Brahma-Bhuta aspect or to the seeing all living entities equal aspect. Does that make sense? It just depends upon which aspect you're discussing at the time. Does that make sense? You know, it's just like, let's say we discuss a menu, right? And in the menu, you know, we're discussing what preparations and this and that. That's one discussion. Within the same field, then you also have, okay, how it'll be served. What'll be served with what, on what, you know, what kind of plates or utensils or who will serve or... So does that make sense? So to serve those things, you have to have them. In other words, it's the menu. And the menu itself will be applied in serving. So it just depends upon which aspect you bring out. So that's why there's no contradiction in the Acharya. So you'll see is there Bhaktivinoda Thakur is talking about the living entity coming to the transcendental position instead of the material position. And so he'll define it that way. And then Prabhupada will be defining it according to seeing, you know, according to that relationship. Because if you see Krishna in that relationship, then you'll be on the transcendental platform. And so to be on the transcendental platform, you have to have a relationship. So Madhvacharya says actual liberation is being in a relationship with the Lord. Right? Because being liberated, that just means that you're out of the material world. And so the impersonalist may get out of the material world, but because he doesn't have a relationship with the Lord, he won't stay in that position. He'll fall from that position. So you can only maintain that spiritual position if you have a relationship with the Lord. Does that make sense? It's not impersonal. It's just bringing out the situation. It's just like if I insist that someone doesn't know anything about cooking, right? And so if I make the point very strongly that you need to be in the kitchen to cook, it's not impersonal. It's just establishing the position. So you have to see Bhaktivinoda Thakur where he's bringing this out. You know, what's the context of the overall discussion that you're dealing with this? So if you're trying to establish the transcendental position of the Lord, like here, the Bhagavad Sandarbha, you're dealing with Krishna as the absolute. So you're just taking that aspect. You know, but it doesn't mean that being absolute doesn't mean that he doesn't have his control of his energies, and he's not engaging in relationship in rasa with those energies. We're just taking one thing at a time. So first of all, we don't know what is absolute. So we're establishing Bhagavan. And that means he has energies. That's what makes it Bhagavan. Right? So Bhagavan is the original position. Then from that, you have the features of Paramatma and Brahman. Does that make sense?
Can you say the difference in explanation depend on historical mentality of our audience?
There may be that aspect, but the point is the points being made are eternal. So it's just a matter of whether you're bringing out the Sat aspect, the Chit aspect, or the Ananda aspect. Does that make sense? That's all. So it's not that it's anything different. You're just bringing out the different aspects of it. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah. Yes.
Actually, Srila Prabhupada says oneness in quality.
Oneness in quality. Yeah, so that means you're dealing with the Chit aspect. Right? Bhaktivinoda Thakur is bringing out the Sat aspect. Because unless the Sat aspect is there, how do you get to the Chit? Right? It means how will you have the transcendental qualities if you're not situated transcendentally? You know, like I said, how will you talk to someone if you're not in the same room? So you being in the same platform, then you can talk. Right? And then from talking, then there is an experience from that talking. That's the Ananda. So all three are there. But for us, it means you'll talk about the Ananda, but we're talking about the Ananda as a goal to attain. Because if we talk about it too much, then people already think they're on the Ananda platform, and then they start to imagine things. Does that make sense? So that's why you see the Acharyas, even though they're talking about these highly elevated aspects of the deities, then their explanation, you also get the philosophy along with it. Does that make sense? To make, keep it balanced. Otherwise, we'll think that we're on that platform. No, we may be able to touch that platform, experience it, because of Krishna's mercy and the association of the devotees. We hear and chant about Krishna. And so that hearing and chanting is not different from Krishna, so we're touching Krishna, and so we're experiencing that. But it's because of that environment. It's not because we're on that platform. It's that Krishna is present where the devotees are hearing and chanting about him. Right? Yeah? Does that make sense? Yeah, it's just a matter of you're bringing out the Sat, the Chit, or Ananda. And in Sat, you can bring out the position, or the, you know, the means of that, the position, the relationship, the attitude. And you can bring out all these different aspects. It's just a matter of which one they're focusing on for that particular position in the discussion. So in the discussion, you're having to establish something. So they may bring that up. Like this Kaivalya aspect. That's talking about the happiness of being transcendentally situated. Right? And then you have the Sarvam Kalvidam Brahma. Then you have the aspect that my natural position is to be situated transcendentally because everything is the Lord. Does that make sense? So one's talking about the situation, one's talking about the happiness of that situation. You know, and then in this case, Prabhupada's talking about the qualities that are there in that situation. So that's why there's never any contradiction between the scriptures or the acharyas. Because the same word can be used in so many different ways. You know what I'm saying? Just like I can say, nice, you know? Or someone does something stupid, I go, nice. Right? Same word. You know, and someone else goes, oh, he really liked it. You know, when you're not saying that at all, you're saying, great. You know, that's, what do you call it? You know, what else is going to go wrong? You know, we thought that was it, but now you've done this, you know.
Mahaprabhu was doing the same during the Gundicha Marjana. When he was not pleased with some devotee by the amount of dirt he collected, he would say, very good, now go teach others to do the same.
Yeah. You understand? So that's the thing, is so if we are fixed that the word can only be used in one way, then we're going to be baffled. Because you're dealing with communication. And communication, you have all these different positions. It's just like this. You can be explaining something, you know, something and an activity and all these things, but You can be explaining it from the position of who's doing the activity, who it's directed towards, what activity is being done. Because if you say there's an activity being done, you have to have a subject and object. Right? There's the result you want to get, so are they emphasizing that or not? Are they result, you know, bringing out the reason why it's being done? You know, or the location at which it's being done? You know, I could say, yeah, they were talking at the market. You know, they were talking at the market. It's a different voice. You know what I'm saying? Then it becomes a locative voice. Does that make sense? You know, if I say they were talking at the market, then I'm talking about the subject and object. Or they were talking at the market. Now I'm talking about the verb. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? So like that, that's the whole point, is that you have to appreciate what voice is being used, why they're bringing that up. So in English, you have at best passive and active. Right? And if you ever type into your computer anything passive, they always tell you change it to active. So they only actually want one voice. You know, I'm here and I'm in your face. You know, that's it. You can't be nice or gentle or anything. But in Sanskrit, there's seven voices. So it's just a matter of how the grammar is. It brings out which is the... So you can say the same thing, but depending on the voice, you know which one it's bringing out. You know what I'm saying? So since these acharyas all know Sanskrit, they can deal with this stuff. And so you do your best to bring it out in English, and they do a good job. You know? But you'll see, generally, Prabhupada will generally always bring it to that Abhideya aspect. You know, bringing out the qualities, bringing out those kind of aspects. Why? Because that's Rupa Goswami. Rupa Goswami, it'll say, I think in Nectar Devotion or somewhere, it says that how he's impressed by Krishna's good qualities. That's the main feature in Rupa Goswami's service, is that being absorbed in the good qualities. Right? So you see, it has such a major position in the explanation. Right? Because you don't see any of the other acharyas explain all the 64 qualities and all the fine points like this. And the, you know, in other words, he's explaining the qualities of everything. Because the qualities, that's the Abhideya aspect. So that's the interaction aspect. You know, the Ananda will come anyway. You perform the act. So that's where the Sambandha and the Prayojana meet, is that Abhideya. Right? You have a relationship, you have a goal you can attain, but without interaction it doesn't happen. So that's why for us Govinda is the main deity. Because if we put it on Prayojana, then it's just about the happiness, and it'll be about our happiness. So actually we'd be talking about liberation. So those people that put too much emphasis there, they're actually more interested in liberation. Like that. Maybe don't tell them that, but don't want to disappoint them. You understand? Does that make sense? So you have to understand is that it's the interaction that's the main thing. Because that's where the experience will be generated from. Because otherwise, just experiencing the happiness and that and the eternalness of that experience, that is there. But then that's the Kaivalya. So we never say about how the Kaivalya is the main aspect. Right? We always name form qualities pastimes. Right? And from that, that's where the Ananda is. Right? So the pastimes are happening because of the qualities. Right? The qualities are happening because of the form, right? Because that's where they're coming from. Right? And the name and the form are non-different. Right? So by chanting, you're associating with Krishna. Does that make sense? And then the associates, the dham, the paraphernalia, that's all assisting in the pastime. You know, you don't have a pastime in space, you have it in the dham. You don't have it with nothing, right? And we're not talking here that everyone has that white face and all that, and they're all doing meme, right? No? Right? So they actually interact. There's paraphernalia. You know? Who's that big meme waller? Some kind of Jacques. Yeah, but he's the diver, no?
Yes.
Yeah, Jacques Cousteau is the diver. This is some other...
Oh. French.
French. Yeah, something. Something different from Eiffel Tower and croissant, so I'd say. This is the moment when, you call it? Schnozzele will be cringing.
Soon.
Mm-hmm.
Soon.
Yes. No, but I'm just saying he's listening to this. There you go. These Americans. Yeah. Does that make sense? Yeah, so you always have to understand is that you're trying to understand which aspect, because if sammanabhideya prayojana is all the Shastra talks about, which aspect are they talking about? So then you see Bhaktivinoda Thakur is bringing out this aspect, Srila Prabhupada is bringing out that aspect, you know, does that make sense? And even within the general category of one of those, it'll have its subdivisions. Does that make sense? So even we say quality, so which quality? And within that quality, what are the subdivisions, right? Because we see Rupa Goswami says these qualities and all these can come up. They can have their different backgrounds of why they're coming up. You know what I'm saying? So for us, it's just, we just see the pastimes going on. And it's nice because it's Krishna and it's pastimes, so it's always, it's perfect. But you can see the acharyas, they can appreciate which quality of rasa is being tasted at that time. Right? And where it is. So, you know, this dai bhav coming up from this vyavichari bhav, it's producing these anu bhavas and sattvika bhavas, but along with these sanchari bhavas, which are coming from this aspect. You know what I'm saying? It's not that the sanchari is coming, it's coming from fear, it's coming from anger, it's coming from doubt, it's coming from all these things. And they can see all that. And so then how much more taste is there? It's just, does that make sense? You know, it's just like if you're talking, oh, they look upset. Okay, so then that's something to talk about. They look upset because of this. That's more to talk about. And it says, oh, you don't know, but what about this? It gets more and more. So the finer it gets, the deeper the taste. You know, so it's just this deeper what we're talking about here goes the other way. So it takes you out of the material world rather than into it. Yeah. Does that make sense? Yeah. Okay.
It was Jacques Lecoq.
Jacques Lecoq.
Lecoq. I don't know how to pronounce that. Lecoq.
Lecoq or Lecou.
Maybe.
Something. Who knows?
Lecoq.
You figured it out. Huh? Yes. Google. Yes.
I think also Bhaktivinoda Thakur mentions that all these terms, Brahman, Kaivalya, they are Vaishnava terms.
But yes.
Because the Mayavadis, they reinterpret these terms.
Yes.
And then some neophyte devotees, they picked up on this and they started using those and viewing those as kind of Mayavad terms.
Oh, okay.
But they are not actually.
Oh, wow. Actually. That's nice. He's mentioned that. Yes.
Srila Prabhupada brings out, when he's talking about Brahmananda Puri, he was saying that some of the Mayavadis, they make fun of, you know, our Brahmananda because, you know, oh, you got this Mayavad name. Srila Prabhupada mentioned, no, that's not what Brahmananda means. And the same as he has a disciple called Kaivalya as well.
Yeah. Similar. Yeah, yeah. No, it says many times you get this, that the people can't understand why these things are there and all that. Point is that means Brahman means Krishna. It doesn't mean something else. And Krishna has a feature of impersonal. But the point is Brahman simply means he's transcendental. He's beyond all things. So unless he's Brahman, how is he the source of everything? You know. So yeah. Interesting. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur mentions that. That's cool. Yeah.
Even like the word soham, which is been very frequently used for the Mayavadis, it indicates an intense form of bhakti in Vedanta Sutra.
Mm.
So that was unknown. Usually I thought that it's a Mayavadi term.
Yeah, no. Otherwise, where are they going to get their terms from? Remember, the Buddhists. So they have to have terms. So what terms are they going to use? They're going to use the Vedic terms. Mm-hmm. And the Veda, its only purpose is establishing pure and alloyed devotion. Mm-hmm. Right? That's what it's for. It's explaining Braja Bhakti. But if you don't catch that, you know, that's not the pure devotion. But in majesty, then you'll catch that. And so all that bhakti is what's meant. But then anything lower than that, that's not what's meant. But because people see it that way, then the Vedas show how on that platform, how to connect that platform to the Lord. Right? But generally on these lower platforms, you're not dealing with bhakti, so they just deal with the mechanics of the connection. Like that. But the devotees, then they learn how to deal with the devotional elements and how to connect that to Krishna. Like that. So it becomes different. So that's why it looks the same what you're doing, but it's actually different. So it's when we have faith that there's only bhakti, there's only Krishna, then all these terms fall into their proper place. Right? And you only need to use these terms because we're describing the jiva in the context of conditioning. The jivas are liberated, you don't necessarily, you wouldn't necessarily use the term. Right? Because in the spiritual world, you don't distinguish between the sandini, sambit, and ladini. Like that. You know, here you do, just because otherwise then you don't actually understand what's what. Okay. It is also said, Swayam upalabdha nija shukanu bhavo bhavan. You experience happiness within yourself. Srimad Bhagavatam 6.9.33. So he's the source of happiness. So because he is the source of happiness, he experiences happiness within himself. If we connect with the Lord, we can experience happiness. But if we don't connect with the Lord, we won't experience happiness because he's the source of happiness, not something else. We're thinking, no, if I get money or I get nice facilities, then I'll be happy. But those don't produce happiness. Right, cars don't produce, a house doesn't produce. Like that. Does that make sense? Yes.
It's an interesting phenomenon that to connect to Lord's energies, we first have to connect to the Lord. And then through the energies, then we connect back to the Lord.
Yes. That's by the grace of Krishna one gets Guru, by the grace of Guru one gets Krishna. That's why you see before it was, not right just now, but last week I think it was, then it was making that whole point of that only by the grace of Lord Chaitanya can you get Lord Nityananda Prabhu's mercy. But then we're used to, no, but it's by getting Lord Nityananda's mercy you can get Lord Chaitanya's mercy. But you first have to get Lord Chaitanya's mercy to get Lord Nityananda's mercy, by which you'll get Lord Chaitanya's mercy. So the one is he is pleased with the attitude, so he'll put you in contact. Then that means now by grace of Krishna one gets Guru. Then by following that directions of the Guru, then one will attain the relationship with Krishna. So the one is, without Krishna, you can't even start the process. That's why intellectual, gymnastics can't catch Krishna, because Krishna's independent. So it's not because I thought about it, therefore I catch Krishna. No, he's independent. If he likes to be caught, then he will. But the first thing is he's caught means you caught his attention, so then he'll put you in contact with the process. Then if you actually take it properly, then you get Krishna. So one has to accept that. So that's another reason Mayavadis can't, because they get Guru, but then they think they become Guru. They reject Guru. So it's how can they function on the eternal platform? Once here in Mayapur, they were going, you don't see it as much now. A few places you can, but along that Bhaktisiddhanta Road, it's higher, and then it would go down quite a bit, down to the ground around it.
Yeah.
Like that. So one time they were going down there, I don't know if they were walking to the Ganga or where they were going. So the devotees were going, and as they were going down the side, then Prabhupada held on to someone's arm or something like that.
Yeah.
And then when he's got to the bottom, he, very dramatically push the devotee away. And then everybody freaked out. What happened? What did he do wrong? This, that. And then Mahaprabhupada explained. That's the Mayavadis. They take assistance from somebody, from the guru, and then when they think that now they've attained their position, then they push them away. Like that, so. Okay. The word sandoha, profusion of bliss, indicates variety, which arises because of variety in the shakti. Right? So, sandoha, profusion of bliss. Because how will there be the profusion unless there's variety? You know, it's indicating that, because profusion just goes on and on and on. That means there's more and more different things. Otherwise, it'll be, yes, the kaivalya, that steadiness of always being on the platform of Ananda. But here is then the aspect is that it's a profusion because of the variety of shaktis. This is the Sarup Shakti. So the Sarup Shakti is that which gives that variety. Prakriti refers to the Maya composed of the three gunas, right? So variety, but not quite the same. Right? You know, it doesn't give the same. Sridhar Swami has described the three Shaktis in that way. Devahuti says, I surrender unto Kapila, whose other form is Prakriti, who is also the Jiva, and the Mahatattva, time, sutra, ahankara, the devatas of the directions, the universe inhabited by your internal energy, and the possessor of independent energies. Srimad Bhagavatam 3.24.33. Okay. Then, Jiva Goswami's explanation. I surrender to the Lord, Param, who is in this position because he has his independent shaktis. What chana... Svachanda Shaktim. The Shakti is described. You are Prakriti, Padanam. You are the Purusha, the controller of Prakriti. You are Mahatattva, Mahantam, and time, the agitator of Prakriti, and Mahatattva. You are Ahankara, Tri Vritam, which produces the planets and their protectors. Right? Because the false ego and the three false ego and goodness, passion, and ignorance. That's what you're so when we're saying we're dealing with the modes, why they're not counted as separate elements, because they're just manifestations of false ego. Does that make sense? You have the ignorance, there's just a false ego, potency, which we come under. Then that's just a general attitude. Then you have the specifics of it. Then within Mahatattva, it takes on the form of, you know, what is it? Tejasa, Tamasa, and Vaikarika. Right? Takes on those in passion, goodness, and ignorance. Right? You are Ahankara, Tri Vritam, which produces the planets and their protectors. After describing the forms produced by Maya, the forms are described as merging into him by the Chit Shakti. I offer respects to the Lord in whom the world is merged by his Chit Shakti. Anu, or Atmanu Bhutya, and who is omniscient, Kavim, the witness of the manifestation of Pradhan. So if he's not the source of consciousness, right, means, so if he's not fully conscious, how does consciousness spread? Right, so the impersonal is subservient to the personal, because it's the person who is knowledge. And so then that can then spread, you know, because of him. That's the Brahman aspect. And that spreading is still him, even though it's a different feature. And then that spreading has so many different aspects. So then you get the external energy, you get the living entities, you get the forms of the transformations of the material energy. All that's him, because there isn't anything else. But at the same time, as he says, he's separate from that. As Bhagavan, because he's the source. Does that make sense? Okay. The Purusha is included in Maya as its controller. When you say Maya, Maya doesn't function on its own, that means there is the controller. Factually, the Purusha is beyond Maya, Kapila says. This Atma is the Purusha, who is eternal, without material qualities. Since he is beyond Prakriti, that Purusha is beyond the senses, has a spiritual abode, and is self-manifesting. From him, this universe, owned by him, appears. Srimad Bhagavatam 3.26.3. Mahasamhita describes the three Shaktis by name and nature. Sri, Bhu, and Durga. Okay, so Durga and Nila are also, because Nila will be the aspect of where is mm-hmm. the spiritual world will be Yogamaya, and here will be Mahamaya. Okay. Are different names for the Jiva Maya Shakti, or material Shakti of the Lord, for maintenance, creation, and destruction of the universe. Right? It is my Shroop Shakti, so in other words, Bhu will create, Shri will maintain, Durga will destroy. It is my Shroop Shakti as my desire, and also material Shakti as matter, Mahasamhita. Yeah, so Shroop Shakti is the desires, Icha, but is also just as a position, the transformation. Then you see Yoga Maya will appear as Mahamaya. That's why Purnamasi is Yoga Maya. Then her other form will be that of Mahamaya. That's why when you see deities of Purnamasi, right? She's riding on the tiger and everything like Maya. So this is just a standard position. It's just a matter of whether she's functioning as Sarup Shakti or she's functioning as the external energy. Does that make sense?
So in the spiritual, she's arranging Krishna's pastimes, and
yes.
She's arranging all.
And here, under the direction of the Lord, she's, arranging ours. Which don't quite come out quite as good. We were very confident that they would be, but unfortunately, in that ignorance, it's not. So there's the Kaivalya aspect is not happening. Does this make sense? So this kind of aspect, I was told that because I saw it once, but I haven't seen it again. There's a translation of Jiva Goswami's commentary on Brahma Samhita. Anyone seen that?
Yes.
You have? Do you know where it is?
I don't remember, but it is there.
Yeah, because I saw it a long time ago, like 20 years ago or something. Maybe more.
Internet, maybe?
Yeah, probably. But in there, so is saying, he's talking a lot about this aspect of Durga and that, and how the relationship with the Lord, just like in here, you're establishing Brahman's connection with Bhagavan. So then here, now you're establishing the energy's connection. So this aspect of him being the absolute has to be established properly. Then you respect his control and then rasa. Because otherwise, if you don't understand that, then you think the rasa is mundane. You know, like the sahajis.
Okay. Hmm?
Yes, the verse there, but I'm saying in the commentary, then a lot he's talking about these kind of technical aspects. Right? So in other words, all this knowledge that you find in the Sandarbhas he's bringing in there.
That verse speaks about Durga.
Yes.
He becomes the shadow and he's the creator, maintainer, and
destroyer. Yes, yes. So it's within that one, then you have these three features. Just like within the spiritual world, you have those three features. But there they act, in the Sarup aspect, and here they act in the material aspect.
No, it's there.
Uh-huh. Yeah. You found it?
Yeah.
You've never found it? No?
I've never found it.
Yeah. Maybe you can send him the link.
Depends who translates this.
Hmm?
Depends who is the translator also.
Yeah. Does it say who is translating?
I'll check.
Okay.
Banu Swami.
No. Okay. He's cool.
I think that's what we used to actually.
So you had a.
Jamal Kirtan used this balance form.
Okay, but it still would be good to look through it just a bit.
With the commentaries.
With his commentaries.
Okay, cool. Oh, so he did a tika and commentaries on his tika. Cool. In this verse, Maya means Astanga Yoga in relation to the Kumaras. It refers to the Lord. If it refers to the Lord, it means by the Chit Shakti, the Kumaras attained Vaikuntha.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Oh, I was wondering what the context was for that.
Yeah. I was trying to find where you were. I'm looking.
Okay. Okay. Shri is the Shakti to protect the universe. Bhu is the Shakti for creation of the universe. Durga is the Shakti of destruction. The Shakti takes these different forms. So it's one Shakti, but it has these three features. That Shakti with Jiva as its object is called Jiva Maya, right? So, in other words, the creation, maintenance, and destruction, that goes on, you know, despite the Jivas. But that where the Maya itself is the object of the living entity, that's where Jiva Maya is. So in other words, the Guna Maya is what's happening here. How it's arranged, it creates, it maintains, it destroys, how it transforms, does all that kind of things. That's the Guna Maya. But when that becomes the object of the Jiva's attention, right, to enjoy separately from the Lord, that's Jiva Maya. Right? Does that make sense?
When she looked to the other side, the other shore.
Yes, when he looks to the other shore, then now he's because otherwise, in this side he's looking, then he's seeing according to Yoga Maya. So it's all in connection with Krishna. But if you look to the other side, then you see, you know, the energy separate from Krishna. So that means you can see this side of Viraj, or let's say, yeah, you can see this side and you can see that side. Or if we're talking from here, you can, yeah, that side and this side, depending on which way you want to start. But the point is, the Jiva is situated spiritually in his natural position. Then they can ignore that and look across to the external. Yes.
That's why it's called Bahirmukh. Mm. It's looking outside.
Ah, yeah, yeah, because you turn around.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because you have to turn to look the other way. Otherwise, you're looking into the pastime, or you look away and look across. So that's the thing, is since there's no time and space, you can see across the Viraja. Right? Because we're always worried about the time and space, how you'll see that far, and all that kind of thing. You know, do you get binoculars, or, you know, like that? Or,
eagle's eye.
Yeah, eagle's eye, or, yeah. Just one of those. What do you call it? Just the telescope, little things. You know, like that.
Binocle.
Yeah. Just like look. Yeah. Yeah. Set. We're good. Yeah. Bahirmukh, because you've turned from the Lord, and are looking the other way. And so then the process is to turn back. So in this, then we have our various ideas, the meanings and that. So that's why the philosophy is discussed so many ways, because we're still trying to get rid of. Because we see we're getting to more and more finer points, but we'll see as basic misunderstandings still come up. Right? So that means is those haven't been cleared. We may have dealt with some aspect of it, but there's so many ways we apply it. So you have to deal with all those aspects. Because otherwise, the philosophy, there's just certain fundamental points. But you have unlimited aspects of each point. And so depending upon us, which part of that, you know, within that fundament, which part is where we're deviated, then that's what the acharyas are dealing with. So we don't know why so much technical detail. That's because this is the range of detail that we're in Maya about. We may not be in all of the things, but we're in some of this. Otherwise, if not, it would be crystal clear. Like that. Because that's the thing, is for when one comes to that pure platform, it's very clear, very simple. It's very straightforward, because it's just all connected to Krishna. And then you have his unlimited energies. Is that... Yeah? It is said in Padma Purana, Aham eva tridha bhinna tishtami tri vidher gunaihi. I exist in three different forms with the three gunas. Right? Because he's false ego, so he has those three different forms. All the devatas, hearing this, inspired by those words, filled with devotion, offered respects to Gauri, Durga, Lakshmi, Sri, and Tara, Bhu, Padma Purana. Right, because he takes on these, so these are the features that will be there. That it's just like depending upon what you're dealing with. Remember, what was it that you have the Prabhava, Vibhava, and the Anubhava? So when you're talking about the Sarup Shakti, the three aspects of the Sarup Shakti, then I think the, what is it? Yeah, the Vibhava is internal potency, external potency, and jiva, right? Then the prabhava, or the influence, right? Because the vibhava is what makes things come up. So the prabhava was the influence, is icha shakti, kriya shakti, and jnana shakti. And then the anubhava means where then there'll be an experience and all that. That will be in samvit, sandini, hiladini. So they're all three features of this sambandhavideya and prayojana. Just depending on, does that make sense? So that's why you're always dealing with these different aspects and how they're applying. So then you're going to get this aspect, you know, like here, of Durga, Lakshmi, and Bhu. The same time as that will be connected with the three kinds of the false ego, because you're dealing with the material platform. But their origin is the spiritual platform. So, does that make sense?
Kindly repeat, you know, the categories
and Vibhava,
Prabhava, and
Anubhava. Yeah. The Vibhava was the internal, external, and Tathasta. Prabhava is Icha, Kriya, Jnana. And and Anubhava is the Samvit, Sandini, and Ladini.
Thank you. Yeah.
You know, so that's why in talking of one, it'll have the connection to all the other features. Right? Does that make sense? So in other words, there'll be a connection between the internal potency, right, the Icha Shakti, and the Hladini Shakti. Right? There'll be a connection between the chit shakti, and then in this you'll get sat chit ananda also, right? Because that's the position you're doing. So then the ananda, that'll be the internal potency, that'll be the hladini, and that will be the internal potency. And icha, yes. And then your chit, that'll have the jivas, and that will have the the kriya shakti. Right, and then your sat, that will have the aspect of the jnana shakti, the sandini, and the external energy. That's why you see there's a connection there between that. So when you're dealing with maya, then you can get all that connection there. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Yes. No.
Yes.
No. Yes. Chit Shakti. Chit. Because chit will be connected with the samvit. Right? And the kriya. While what was the other one you said?
Jnana.
Jnana, that will be connected with sat. Means you have sat chit ananda. Right? You have sammanabhide and prayojana. So the situation you're in, that's describing this, the sambandha. Right? What you were saying before, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he was bringing out that word from the sambandha aspect. Prabhupada's bringing it out from the abhideya aspect. Does that make sense? So when we say is that all there is a sambandha, abhideya, and prayojana, that's literally that's what's meant. Everything fits into these categories. And so then it's just a matter of what feature you're looking at in these categories. That's why you see the jnana, it is the basis of the existence. But that means it's also the basis of the material existence. Does that make sense? And so that's why from that feature, then from there you have the Sankarshan aspect, you have Mahavishnu, you have Rama Devi, you have Durga Devi. That's all coming from that aspect. You know what I'm saying? That's why you have that Advaitacharya is Mahavishnu, he's also Sadashiva. Because the whole point is you only have this aspect of Sadashiva in the Purusha avatars. Does that make sense? The other avatars don't manifest these positions. Right? So that means it's there, it's already there in that in the background in Baladev, because Krishna doesn't manifest that, because then Baladev's taking care of that. But he only has to take care of it within the transcendental position. Right? So it's not manifest other than that. But when Baladev expands as Mahanarayan, then that Jnana Shakti, it can be expand as Vaikuntha, or it can expand as the material world. Right? So that's where you see the two aspects. So then to say Advaitacharya is Mahavishnu and Sadashiva, it's the two features of the Lord of the Jnana Shakti. Does that make sense? Did that work, or
it just suddenly happened? I wasn't ready.
He was just back there minding his own business.
Yeah, just there. Where did that come from? But that's what we're meaning by that's the meaning of anuchana. Is that you can see all these connections across these different definitions and different features of the Lord and how they connect to each other.
But we stopped that course.
Huh?
We stopped that course, Maharaj. So
but it doesn't mean that the concept is not there. That's just giving detail of how the aparavidya connects to each other. But it's still that the paravidya we can give the connection. Because if you catch that, the other one's quite easy. But that's the whole point one's trying to catch, is that one can see all these things. That's why you see, let's say, the verses on Krishna, it'll be generally taking one kind of flavor. Mm-hmm. Right? When it's talking about him as Paramatma, you know, in the demigods, that you'll get a wider range. But then when you see it like prayers to Lord Nityananda, it'll go all the way from Balaram down to Ananta. Mm-hmm. You know, everything in between, all in one verse. Right? Generally with Krishna, it'll take, you know, one verse will kind of deal with one area, another verse another, and that way like the personified Vedas. They'll cover all the aspects. But with Nityananda, they'll do it all in one verse. That's what we're talking about, because all that is connected. He's the Lord in all that aspects. Does that make sense? Because then you have the Janava and Vasudha. Right? And so then you're going to have Bhu and Nila. Right, so you see, Bhu doesn't have children. Nila does. No?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, because she's Bhu. That aspect. But she's, you know, in that higher form because she's connected with Nityananda, so therefore she has that, but the point is all those features are there. Does that make sense? So just like in Sachimata and Jagannath Mishra is Nanda Baba and Jashoda Devi. But they're the source of all the parents. So you see in the pastime, you know, much of the pastime is between, you know, how you say, is Krishna and Nanda and Jashoda, but in the context, in the form of Lord Chaitanya. Right? You know, so that kind of relation. But you see some of them are like Ramachandra, some of them are like, you know, Vasudeva and Devaki. Does that make sense? Because they have all that. That's why you see that, you know, Nanda Baba doesn't die in Krishna's pastimes.
Right.
But he does in Ramachandra's pastimes.
Yeah.
Right? So you see that and that feature there. So you see these different features. Remember, because before there was a thing, how can one devotee have all these? That means that those devotees that is all that feature, they're all connected. You know, like you have Shiva. Then there's an aspect of that in Hanuman. There'll be an aspect of that in Arjuna. Does that make sense? Because when you say Nara Narayan Rishi, you're talking about their position. It's not as much about their, you know, that interaction or the ananda that they taste. It's more about how the Lord and living entity are non-different but different. Right? So that puts it in the third category, in the sambandha aspect, which means the jnana aspect, which means the feature that has Shiva in it. Does that make sense now? Keeping up? Okay. So that's why then Arjuna marries Yoga Maya. Right? Because otherwise, without that aspect of Shiva, how is he going to marry Yoga Maya? Not that she's not a great girl and he's a great guy, but it's just, you know, why would that be worked out? But at the same time, as we see, Purnamasi is there and Sandipani Muni. So there's different aspects of that. So one's coming from the one, one's coming from the other. So the Narayan Rishi aspect, that's where Arjuna is coming from. The Sandipani Muni, that'll be coming from another feature. Does that make sense? So it's features within the features. Does that make sense? But they all have that one category. You know, so Hanuman will be in that. That's why he can move in Shiva's lane and do so many things like that. Right? But he's not an incarnation of Shiva. It's just that there's that aspect. That's where he's connected. He has that sambandha connection. Does that make sense? So all these different things, that's going on through all the different pastimes, all the philosophy and all that. So that's why if you look at it from sambandha, abhideya, and prayojana as the main core, it then makes everything connect together. You can see it. So if something new comes up, you just go back to the sambandha, abhideya, and prayojana, where it fits, then you can start to see how the connection works. So is it working from this side, that side, or whatever aspect? Does that make sense? Yeah. So that way you see is Nityananda has two wives. Advaita Acharya only has one. Does that make sense? You know, because because Balaram's the lord of Kriya, and it means Kriya and Jnana, because Jnana is expanding from him. But as he expands it, and so therefore then it will be then in that position. Then the Lord will be there. Right? And then he just deals with the one. But those two features are both there. Right? So that's where his concept has these two major features. But then within, because Maya Durga is the reflection of the internal potency that has all the three aspects, she also then has those three aspects. But within the context of hers. Right? You know, so within Ajnana, then you have goodness, passion, and ignorance. Does that make sense? But it's within that context, so that's why it's sometimes not understood. One gets confused. But it's within that context. It's not talking about outside of the context of Ajnana. Because when you're talking about the Jnana Shakti, then you're going to be talking about those three that we started with. You know, the Prabhav, Vibhav, and Anubhav of the Shaktis. So, no? Good?
Maharaj, you mentioned about Advaita Acharya was a combination of Mahavishnu and Sadashiva, and the aspect of Sadashiva is not present in the other incarnations. What is that aspect?
What is that aspect? The aspect of dealing with the material world. Okay. That's what the Purusha avatars do, because see, when Mahanarayan expands as the Chakra Vyuha, they're just the mood is I'm God. But the Purusha avatar is I'm the creator, maintainer, and destroyer.
Yes.
So that aspect you won't see. It's there in its dormant form in the others before that. But that's the difference in Balaram. That's where it comes. That's where it starts. Like that. But it's not manifest there until it gets to Mahanarayan. That's why he's non-different from. He is the super soul. He is the lot of these things. That's why you'll say it'll mention when it talks about the glories of Nityananda. It'll always talk about that line. And how he's, you know, that's why he's the ultimate servitor Godhead. because the Kriya and Jnana are there simply to serve the Icha of Krishna. And so on all the levels, all the features, whether it's in Braj, whether it's in Dwarka, you know, whether it's in the material world, then he's the one supporting that. And even if he's the, even though those will be major features of his area of energy, still that's going on simply to please Krishna. So the material nature has been created, so that's within the Jnana Shakti. And so, but that still is under his control. And so within that, the features of that, he's doing that simply to please Krishna. So even though the incarnations and that may be within that feature, it's still Krishna within that feature. That's why you can still tell the difference. So even if you have the Chaturvyuha, you can still tell the difference between Vasudeva and Sankarsana.
Yes.
Like that. Does that make sense? Even though they're within that, that feature of the Jnana Shakti. Does that make sense? Yeah. Because you have the original. Right? That's why we don't have any problem that it'll go, you know, Krishna expands as Balaram, Balaram as Mahanarayan, Mahanarayan then is the Chaturvyuha, and then that Chaturvyuha then is Krishna and Balaram and Dwarka. We don't have a problem with that because it's still the same features. It's just a matter of what you're tasting. The prominence of the Icha Shakti, the prominence of the Kriya, the prominence of the Jnana. Yes, no?
Good.
Starts to make sense now?
Yeah.
Okay. It's just a matter of being able to see that they're all the same thing. Is that? Yeah. And it's just, but in each one of them, that position is used because it brings out a particular flavor. But it's still just Krishna. You know? So that's why in here, the main obstacle to get over is this idea that Brahman is the origin. You know, in the way of impersonal. Brahman as a person is the origin. And then there's an impersonal feature. The person is all-knowing. So the source of all knowledge. Therefore, expanding that, you get the impersonal. But it has to start with the person. Otherwise, where does knowledge come from? Does that make sense? So that's the point is that the specific is first. Then you have the generic. If you have Krishna as the source of knowledge, it's specific, it's him, he knows it all. Then it expands and then others and other pastimes and other living entities can take part in that. Right? So in other words, what is the subjective for Krishna, that becomes the objective for everybody else. Or the abstract for everybody else. Right? And then they, that according to their nature, pick certain things, and then that becomes their concrete aspect. But so the illusion is that concrete aspect that we're getting that's connected with the abstract is not connected to Krishna. Because the potency of the abstract is Krishna. Otherwise, how are we getting that experience? Does that make sense? So that oneness of everything, but at the same time the variety of everything, that's then what you're trying to establish here. Then you can see then how he controls it in his pastimes as Paramatma, and then you see as Bhagavan how it's based on rasa, the interaction with the devotees. Because Mahavishnu is laying down in the causal ocean and breathing in and out and having his, you know, the dreaming the whole material existence. But at the same time is he is a person, right? So he has his palace, he has his associates, they all sit there and they perform their pastimes there. So when Arjuna and Krishna went to visit Mahavishnu, they didn't just go and there's this huge guy laying down sleeping. You know, they came, there's a palace and all that because he's Bhagavan. But there'll be a different flavor in that Bhagavan aspect that you say. So in other words, it'll have more of the Jnana Shakti aspect to it. Right? And within the Jnana Shakti, it'll be creator, maintainer, and destroyer rather than just, I am God. Does that make sense? So then in that sense, you can say is that's the Brahman aspect and the Paramatma aspect. That's within the Brahman aspect. Does that make sense? So you're taking the third feature, which is the Brahman aspect, And then it has the two features of Paramatma and Brahman. That's why we were saying the other day about Vaikuntha, there the mood is more as he's Paramatma. But he's Bhagavan, he's interacting. But it's Bhagavan with that flavor of Paramatma. How he's God, he knows everything, sees everything, he's control of all the energies and all that. So that's the God aspect. Yeah? Still good?
Yeah.
Okay.
That is why we always like, or sometimes it is said, Durga is the creator, maintainer, and destroyer.
Yes.
Similarly, the same maintainer is creator, maintainer, and destroyer is sometimes possible also. So, taking
yes.
some aspects of.
It's just a matter of within. That means the material world's already a destruction.
Yeah.
You know, but you just kind of put it together, and then, you know, it's just like, let's say, kids put a bunch of boxes together, right? Stack yeah. them all up. Why are they doing that? So they can knock them down.
Mm.
So it's creation, maintenance, and then destruction within destruction. Because the whole purpose is the destruction. So that's why that feature is there, because it will be destroyed. Does that make sense? No, because it's features within, because Krishna is the Lord of threes, therefore everything goes in threes. So even you take one, it has three aspects to it. Right? Sambandha, Abhideya, and Prayojana. Right? So you have Madan Mohan. So Madan Mohan means it's the relationship with Krishna. So Krishna calling the attracting them, then they making the endeavor going there to them, to him, and then they actually meet him there, but it's just meeting him as Madan Mohan, establishing the relationship. Right? Does that make sense? Then they'll make the arrangements and all that for the rasa dance. They'll have the rasa dance, and then that happiness that they felt from that. Right, it'll be the three features within Govinda. Does that make sense? So like that, all the three features are always going on. So any one you can take, and then like that, you want to take, okay, they're arranging the rasa dance. But that means then you have to have paraphernalia to arrange that. So if you're going to sweep the beach, you need to have a broom. So that means then Vrinda and her Vana Devis, they supply the brooms, because they have go-downs there. They have brooms, they have musical instruments, they have all that stuff. And she's in control of that, you know, so no one else bumps into it, goes, wow, what's this house here, you know? And someone points out that it's made out of gingerbread. And, these things just don't happen. You understand? Yeah. So then she supplies all that, right? And then they're going to actually, you know, then, okay, now they have the broom, they're going to, who's going to sweep where and all that, and then you know, then that point, then they're going to, so even within the sambandha of sambandha, you can make it into three. So that's the thing, is you can always go down. That's how there's unlimited energies. Right? There's three main. But within these, then they have all these, and it goes down. It's just unlimited going down. Break going down like that. Like Radharani's gopis, they're all left-wing gopis. But within them, they're left of left, middle of left, and right of left. But they're all within left. And so you'll have the same thing within right. You know, they'll be left of right, right, you know, middle of right, and right of right. Does that make sense? So like that, then you're always going to have these three, you know, and then if you keep going, you know, then within left of right, you know, and left of left, then there's going to be left of left of left, so that's going to be Lalita, right? So it's just, that's how it's going to work. Right? Yeah, and so there's always these overlaps of this. You know, so it's just like you have the Sri Bhuvanila, let's say, okay, well, that's there, but you have Krishna, right? Then you're going to have Radharani, right? And then you're going to have Lalita, and then you're going to have Vishakha. She's known as Anuradha, because she appeared at the same time. Because if you have an object and there's a light, the shadow appears simultaneously, right? Yeah. So then that simultaneous, that she's then the source of that aspect of the energies. But she's there as internal potency. But she'll be the source of where it'll eventually get to Durga. Because what separates the material world and the spiritual world is the viraja. The viraja is the jamuna. The jamuna and vishaka are non-different. Does that make sense? So that's how all these energies work like that. So the Sri Bhuvan Nila works for us also. You know, that's why we're quoting. But it's not the prominent feature for us. Because then it's about opulences and grandeur. So then you use Sri Bhuvan Nila. When you're using the pastimes, you don't bring that out. But otherwise, that's where the source is. That's where you get these features. Right? So there's the arrangement. So Purnamasi is doing that overall arrangement. You know, she's also the situations that Purnamasi is doing that. So Purnamasi has those two features. Is that good? We should probably end now, otherwise then. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Pradavati.